Unit 10. Shopping. Part A. Know-how for tour guides. 1. Entertainments. The Browns check in the Chengdu Jinjiang Hotel. After supper, Miss Yan Juan takes them to watch the Sichuan Opera in the Shunxing Old Tea House. But the Browns don't want to watch the opera. Instead, they'd like to buy the Shu brocade. How could the guide handle the case? 1. Listen carefully and fill in the blanks with the words or phrases you've just heard.
1. Miss Yan Juan should encourage the Browns to watch the opera if the entertainment item is specified in the travel schedule.
2. She should tell them that it may be impossible to obtain a refund for the reserved ticket.
3. If they want to attend other entertainments not specified in the travel schedule, they should make their own arrangements at their own expense.
2. Listen again and answer the following questions.
1. Do you think that tourists must take part in the entertainment if it is specified in the travel schedule?
2. How do you advise them if they don't want to participate? 2. Shopping. Shopping is an important part of tourist activities. Tourists may go shopping, especially when the tour is drawing to a close. As a local guide, what should you do when they go shopping? 1. Listen carefully and match the information in column A with that in column B. There are two extra items in column B.
1. The guide should take tourists to go shopping at the designated shops. She should not add extra shopping programmes, extend the shopping time, or take them to the shops other than the designated ones.
2. The guide should not exaggerate the quality of tourism products.
3. The guide should not cheat or force tourists to buy products. He is not allowed to sell goods to tourists or buy goods from them.
4. The guide should not ask the shop for a brokerage or rake-off.
5. If tourists want to purchase antiques, the guide should inform that sales receipts will be required by the customs when they leave China. Antique shops provide such documentation. Antiques sold by peddlers usually do not have signs of authenticity and may not be allowed to take out of China.
6. The guide may agree when tourists request to go shopping by themselves if there is enough time. 2. Listen again and answer the following questions.
1. Do you think tourists can go shopping by themselves?
2. Can the guide encourage tourists to buy souvenirs? Part B. Listening comprehension. The Browns arrive at the Wuho Temple. Now they are standing in front of the temple. Miss Yan Juan explains why the Emperor Liu Bei and his subject Zhuge Liang was jointly enshrined in the temple. 1. Listen to the passage and fill in the blanks with the words or phrases you've just heard.
Wuho Temple. Wuho Temple, which covers an area of more than 80 mu, is located in the south of Chengdu proper. The temple was built in honour of Liu Bei, the founding emperor of the Shu Kingdom during the Three Kingdom period. In the temple, there are the shrine of Liu Bei, the emperor of Shu, the shrine of Zhuge Liang, the prime minister, and Liu's mausoleum, etc. It is a noteworthy temple in China, where the monarch and his subject were enshrined and commemorated together. The front gate, the second gate, Hall of Liu Bei, Hall of Zhuge Liang, and Liu Bei's mausoleum and so on are all located on a centre line, facing south. It contains 47 statues of historical figures, 50 inscribed stone tablets, over 60 antithetical couplets. Among them, the couplet of psychological attack is most famous and is regarded as one of 100 celebrated couplets in China. In addition, there are more than 10 objects like the bronze tripods, incense burners, bells and drums. The temple serves as a museum for studying the history of the Shu Kingdom as well. Wuho Temple is the most famous memorial temple that features the Three Kingdom culture. In 1961, it is ratified as a China Key Cultural Relic Unit under protection by the State Council.
2. Listen to the passage again and answer the following questions.
1. Where was the Wuhu Temple located? For whom was the temple built?
2. What is the most striking feature of the Wuhu Temple?
3. What are the main buildings in the Wuhu Temple? How many statues of historical figures and inscribed stone tablets are there in the temple?
4. What is the most famous couplet among over 60 antithetical couplets in the Wuhu Temple? Part C. Situational Dialogue. Dujiangyan Irrigation Project. The Browns come to visit the Dujiangyan Irrigation Project. It is regarded as a live wonder which can be comparable to the Great Wall, both of which have a history of more than 2,000 years. 1. Listen to the dialogue and decide whether the statements are true or false. If it is true, put T in the space provided, and F if it is false.
Now we're standing at the Fulong Temple, Dragon Taming Temple. Here you can have a bird's eye view of the Mingtiang River.
Wow! It looks like that the river were flowing through the towering peaks and rushing down from the horizon.
The Mingtiang River is separated into two streams at the bend by a dike here. The front segment of the dike is named Yuzui, or Fishmouth.
Fishmouth? That's an interesting name.
The Fishmouth is a water division dike. The dike takes the shape of a fish, so people gave a romantic name, Fishmouth.
Why did people construct the Fishmouth here?
The Fishmouth is the first section of the project. It was constructed to divide the water into the inner river as a canal and the outer river as a floodway. There goes a saying, divide water by 40% and 60%, subdue flood and drought.
But how can the Fishmouth divide the water?
Li Bing, then the prefect of the Shui, had the project built here, according to the terrain at the Han Jiabar flatland. The outer side of the riverbed here is higher than the inner side.
Can you explain in more detail? I still cannot understand what you said.
In spring, the water volume is small. 60% of the water flows along the lower side of the riverbed into the inner river. The Chengdu Plain is relieved from the drought in spring.
Wonderful. What about the summertime? How does it prevent the flood?
In summer, the flow volume increases rapidly, but the outer river is wider than the inner one. 60% of the water flows into the outer river and leaves only 40% of the water flowing through the inner river. By this way, the Chengdu Plain is relieved from the flood.
No wonder Dujiangyan Irrigation Project is called an alive wonder. It can divide water volume into 40% and 60% automatically in different seasons.
Well, the Fishmouth will surprise you more. It also has the function of releasing sand and pebbles, because it is set at the end of the bend. It turns out to be an ideal place for both channeling water and sweeping away sands and pebbles.
Really? Do you mean the Fishmouth can discharge the sand and pebbles as well?
Right. It is estimated that about 80% of the sands and pebbles is swept away into the outer river through the Fishmouth. That's one of the reasons why the inner river never silts up.
Fantastic! But what about 20% of sand and pebbles that remains in the inner river?
Look how you are excited. I'll tell you when you visit the Fei Shaiyan Sand Flying Spillway and Bao Ping Kao Bottleneck Channel at Li Dui, the isolated mound.
OK, let's go. 2. Divide the class into groups and do the dialogue. Pay attention to your body language. Part D. Introduction to Tourist Site. After they tour the Dujiangyan Irrigation Project, the Browns leaving for the Zhoujiaogao Valley, the fairyland in the world. On the way, they take the chance to visit the Taoping Chiang stockaded village. It is reputed as a mysterious ancient castle in the east. 1. Listen carefully and remember the places of interest, events and features of the Taopingqiang stockaded village.
1. The layout of the Qiang village is just like an intricate maze. Your introduction of its layout will help tourists understand the mysterious village.
2. The blockhouse is the most eye-catching building in the Qiang village. You may focus on your introduction on the sentry blockhouse.
3. The Zhuangfang is typical of the Qiang folk house. You may take tourists around the village while introducing their inhabitant customs.
4. Why can we say the Qiang village a complete defence works? You may introduce the structure of the village, especially the underground water system, in addition to the blockhouse.
The Taopingqiang stockaded village. Ladies and gentlemen, we arrive at the Taopingqiang stockaded village. Look ahead. The blockhouses stand upright, as if they were brave soldiers safeguarding the Qiang villages. Most of them are made of flagstones layered with clay mud. The edges of the blockhouse look sharp and straight, as if they were cut with a knife, and the surface of the walls feels smooth. They are extremely solid and strong, and have stood there firmly for hundreds of years. Look, in front of us is the sentry blockhouse. It is relatively small and square in shape. In ancient times, guards usually stay in the sentry blockhouses. When they see the enemies moving towards the village, they would send out smoke signals to warn the villagers to prepare for a fight immediately. Look over there. It is a battle blockhouse. It was designed and built for real military operations. It is high and solid. The more sides a blockhouse has, the stronger it is, and the more convenient it is for the villagers to fight invaders from different directions. When the war breaks out, strong men fight in the village, while the old, the weak, the women and the children, and even domestic animals, are moved into the blockhouses. With sufficient grains and weapons, they could insist on for 15 days. Now we are entering the Qiang village. The Qiang people call their houses Zhuangfang or Wuzhi. A Zhuangfang is usually a five-story structure. The first floor is used to raise livestock. The second floor consists of a fire pit and a few rooms. The third floor is for keeping Zhu Biao, the bacon. The fourth floor stores cereals and sundries. And on the top floor is a small platform where you can see a sacrificial altar which serves for worshipping gods. The roof is used to dry and air the crops. Attention, please. We are walking down the lanes in the village. You may think each house of the village is separate, but when you step on the flat roofs, you will discover that all the houses are connected by the roofs. It is an effective defence system, and the villagers could help each other out and fight in times of wars. Please walk hand in hand, otherwise you may get lost. The lanes are shadowy, winding, and tortuous, as if it were a maze. Have you heard something under the ground? The water is flowing under your feet. It is an underground water system. The Qiang people make good use of the topography of the village to dig an underground ditch leading to every household. People can fetch water indoors. In time of war, they were not afraid of being besieged by enemy forces, since the water system would help them hold fast to their post for a long time. Besides, this water network served as a perfect firefighting facility and as a safe underground passageway. At last, we come out of the mysterious ancient castle in the east. The Qiang stockaded village shows the Qiang is a brave but never warlike ethnic group. The style of the Qiang village shows that the village is an entirely defensive system. You can imagine how brave this ancient ethnic group are, and how they have survived in such a hushed condition. Now, the Xiaolang dance begins. Let's go to have a wonderful Qiang bonfire party.
2. Make a simulated introduction of the tourist site and try to animate your introduction using proper body language.